podcast.
KellerKellerOfficial.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Well, this is going to be revolutionary, isn't it?
A bit weird.
Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller Podcast, live and direct, central London, essential as you need to be, want to be, could be, need to be, yes, that is. Big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk and everyone that's got the Kellervision app, free download, supporting art, you know how we do. It's a graffiti episode, switch on if you're watching, if you're listening, carry on as was. We have a very special guest in the house. Pre-notoriety as a pioneer in the garage art form and the music genre. He was a graffiti writer, part of the notorious crew, TU, the Untouchables. And yeah, that's how we connected, and this is what we're going to be talking about today. DJ Luck, how
yes,
are you, my brother?
I'm good.
I'm good.
Yeah. Sounds weird when you say it like that.
How do you mean?
Just like, oh, back in the day, yeah. Graffiti writer, TU and all that. Yeah, it's kind of, it's a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, we to be fair, in preparation for this, we did get into some conversations on the phone.
Yes, we did.
Because there's a lot to go through and unpack. And prior, you know, for those of you, a big shout out to everybody that's checked out the Steam TU podcast. Hold tight, Steam, that's my dog. It opened up a bit of a treasure trove of further exploration and deeper understanding of the time that it was. And you were very quick to give me a shout and say, hey, listen, yo.
Yeah, no, I mean, not to be whatever, I'm very like interviews. I've done loads of interviews my whole life, done as much lifetime. So, but you're cool, me and you were cool. And like, do you know what I mean? I wanted to sort of talk to you about, I just felt quite strongly about graffiti because I love graffiti and that's where it all started, really. Mm-hmm. And also spoke to Steam about it. And this is before I even saw that your podcast, we would speak all the time about it.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought what came across with his interview was a bit different. And I was always wanted to put across to people where, yes, there's you've got your lovely, beautiful pieces and, oh, yeah, they should let kids do all that. But I think from day one, I'll tell you, I'm not a piecer, I'm a tagger, yeah? Mm. So I don't go out and say, I can do all these big blams and all this. I can't, yeah? Mm-hmm. I can do a little bit, but I was never known for that. I was a tagger.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought I wanted people to know what taggers go through, rather, because no one really talks to taggers. Yes, taggers are... Yeah. There's so many people that are just putting their names up and how dangerous the things we would do when we was younger. No one really understands it. I mean, to think about what I would do so many years back, I'm crazy. Not me, eh? We was all crazy.
Yeah.
If you could ask someone to go, yeah, we know what line to stand on. Don't stand on that line, you stand on that. That's a load of bollocks. None of us knew what line we should stand on.
Really?
Of course, that's a load of rubbish. That was, oh, that big line at the end, that's the electric one. That's a load of rubbish. None of us knew it. All of us just stood on what line, gone over there, done your tag, run back and gone there. And we just think, I didn't know. I could have died. I mean, obviously you don't think about it at that time.
Yeah.
But I just kind of wanted to get across the tagging. I didn't mind, like we talked about it, I'd like to get across the tagging side of it, rather than, yes, the beautiful pieces and all that. And the tagging part of it was just such a big, was the start of it, really, you know? And it was, you'd look at people who could do pieces back then. Obviously, they're better now, but back then, there were some really amazing people that were doing pieces. And pieces wasn't that famous back then. When we all started tagging, it was tagging first.
Yeah.
Then it was these pieces of your name or whatever you was going to do. And then one would pop up and then you think, oh, my man done that. Like, have you seen it? Go down there, quick, go and see. Because you know it's only going to get rubbed off in like a day or two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I just kind of wanted to get across that sort of the side of the tagging side. For people to understand that more than the beautiful pieces that everyone sees. And the tag inside that it was what you woke up for and what you went to bed for. And it meant so much. Even like driving up here, I was thinking what I was going to say, and I was just kind of going back, and I was just thinking what things to say. And I could, probably the most thing that pops into my head is, you've done a yard, you put your name up, you just battered a train. And if you batter a train too much, they're going to clean the train. They're not going to put the train out the next day.
Good point.
If you make it too, if you fuck it up too much, they're not putting the train out.
Yeah.
But then it'd be the next day, and you're just on the lines, and you're just waiting, I don't know, at a station or whatever, and a train's pulling in, and it's battered. I can see it like it was yesterday. It's like, yes, they didn't clean it, and it's out. I know it's only going to be a couple of days, but it's like, yeah, it was out, man. So them sort of things people don't really talk about, you know?
No, they don't. And as important as piecing and, you know, the blockbusters, and there's something very warming about a tag, particularly if you've got in a real kind of stamp, 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 repeat, repeat, repeat. You get used to a certain name. It becomes your part of your home, the walk and route you take from somewhere.
Definitely.
Back. You, and sometimes, often people don't connect the piece with the tag. You take Ayn, for instance, the early doors of his kind of throw up thing that he did compared to the things he does now. It's like two separate worlds.
Yeah.
But the tagging, it's a culture in itself, isn't it?
Of course it is. I mean, like, again, you're saying like the throw ups, or we would have, or sometimes it would be like a number. You wouldn't necessarily, you'd have your tag or you'd make up a number. Now, I never had a number. Mm. But there were certain people like Keep and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They had their numbers. So they would, I think Keep was 203. Don't take my word for it. But they wouldn't necessarily put their tag up. They just put 203.
Wow, okay. Yeah?
So,
wow.
But you knew that was them. So they didn't even have to write their name. They would just write a number. And that number was them, and you knew it.
So that's, it'd be so like, cool, though.
That's sick. But they were these guys were big. These guys were going out on their jacks. I mean, it'd be fun to go with a few of you, but it was also a lot of fun when you was by yourself.
Mm.
And also being Rago when there's a train, say, full of 30 people in a carriage, and you just pull out your pen, don't give a fuck, and you just start battering up the pen, leaning over people, just writing,
excuse
and no
me.
One saying nothing.
Excuse
yeah,
me.
Excuse me. And it's like, done. Yeah, we smashed
what?
It. Yeah, you know what I mean?
How regular like occurrence that. Was that, though?
That, when I was a kid, I mean, I started, I think I know probably Steam since I was 12. So I'd say,
12?
Yeah, so I know him, I'm 46 now, so I know him a good 30 odd years, you know?
Jeez.
That's a lot.
So you were writing since you were 12?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so love was luck from 12.
See, don't tell me the Killer Care podcast don't give you the exclusives on this thing. Come on.
But when I used to do the interviews for the music, I would never say, well, how did you get luck? And I go, oh, I was just kind of lucky. Back then, it wasn't, people were still doing graffiti, and it was the faux pas of not to be the dirty thing, writing on walls, the dirty thing. So I didn't really want, when you're doing these kids interviews or whatever for your music, and oh yeah, I'm a tagger, and that's why people call me Luck. So now I don't really care. It's sort of gone, but it's funny, kind of all the tagging happened, all the pieces happened, then it sort of died out, and there was a few. I mean, I'd love it when I was, I'm talking like 10, 15 years ago, I'd go to Camden, I'd see a sub. I'm like, my man's still putting up things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
BIC, I'm thinking, these guys, how old are these guys? You know what I mean?
All City.
They were from back in the days. Uh-huh. And I'm like with my kids now, and I'm looking, I'm thinking, that's a new dub up there, man. Mm. These guys, I'm in Camden, they've just put something up there. And I'm like, wicked, it's just nice to see, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But like, what I was going to say, it's come full back around. Like, I've got friends now that own their own businesses, and do you know what I mean? These are not kids. These are old guys. Mm. Yeah. But every Saturday or Friday or Sunday, they'll go to certain places where you're allowed to piece, and they just get their cans. They have some beers, get on it, and they go and just do pieces.
That's such a what a life.
And it's like, you know, that's what they do. They do that, and I think that's really, really cool. And it's really come back around.
Mm. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is nice.
It's therapeutic.
100%. Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm fast forwarding this big question a little early, but I think it's the right time. Do you miss it? Do you feel like that kind of scenario where you go out, have a couple of drinks, do a bit of painting, and then, you know, go back home and do a DJ set in the evening, you know?
No, I'll definitely say, when I'm hanging around with these mates that I'm telling you, and they've just come back, or they've just all their cans are in there, or the pens are in there. I'm like, I really just want to go and take that can and just put my tag up on that wall.
That's all you want.
Yeah, I just want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, definitely. And it was very good, real good memories, real good memories.
Well, let's get into these memories. So we'll take it back to 12 years old. How did you meet Steam?
I just met Steam, I think, on road, really, just round the area. I mean, notorious as he may be, he was he's changed a lot from what he was back then to now, I'll say. He's
how was he back then?
He was a very scary person.
Is he?
Very scary person, especially when you're so young.
Yeah.
And he's not much older than me. He might be 1 or 2 years older than me, but they were very big, physically big.
Did they used to roll, you know, was Steam often on his own, or did he roll with a group?
There was always a couple of them at least.
Really?
There was always meeting points. You know, like when you were a kid, you didn't have mobile phones, you'd meet at the park or meet
at the bench,
that station, or meet here, or meet at the back of the yard, or just hang out. Mm. So there's always places where people would hang out.
Mm.
So, yeah, but I mean, I think the first, I got to know him quite well. I think he took to me for some reason. I think also, them guys, they're very notorious. More notorious if you think about it now than when I think about it back then. We were just kids and we were probably scared of everyone and getting robbed.
Mm-hmm,
yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't want to get robbed for it. Bruv, borrow me a pound. Yeah? You take out your money like an idiot. You got £4 and your £4 is going.
Mm-hmm,
yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Not sitting, but that was just. Yeah, the way of the world. That's how it was.
Heaven forbid you say I'm a graph writer.
Yeah,
then your shit's getting nicked.
But I mean, I remember I was probably a bit at the beginning friendly with him, and then I introduced him to one of my other friends, and we were young kids, and like I think someone might have been trying to rob my friend,
right?
And he came over, and he stopped it, and then he said to my friend, he goes, "You got a bly," he goes, "All I want from you is to see your tag up by next week. When I go out, I want to see your tag everywhere." That's all he asked him for. He just wanted people to write. He just wanted people to put their names up. He knew like we were just little kids graphing and we were trying to thing. And that's the sort of person he was. I'm not saying he was a good person back then, but he's got a good heart, yeah? He might not. I've seen the interview. Obviously, no one's going to boost themselves up. But yeah, there was bad things that happened. But I tell you, he's also done a lot of good for people. A lot of good for people.
Yeah, I get the impression there's a Robin Hood effect of
100. That's exactly what it is. You said it. You've nailed it on the thing. If there was any robberies, if there was anything, any badness that I ever saw, me personally, it was always to bad people. It was never to, like you're saying, the Robin Hood. It was never to a good person. If you was getting robbed, that was a dealer. That was a robber. Because you ain't gonna go. You can't go police. You know. So
I mean, let's dive a little bit more into the TU foundations here. Slightly, we'll come out the other side unscathed. But when we talk about Steam, the levels in which his notoriety was, it felt like by the name suggested, untouchable. How much control did TU have back then in terms of, do you know what I mean? How much of a threat were they to the bad that created the Robin Hood effect?
I honestly think only probably as we're adults now looking back, and this is hand on heart, they didn't realise what they was. I honestly believe it's like how you come together, like how I met Nee, and which is just luckily on a pirate radio station, and we became what we was.
Yeah.
I think all of them just sort of, this wasn't something that someone sat down, or Steam, or whoever it was that sat down and said, right, I'm going to make this crew, this is what we're going to do, we're going to go out and go, we're going to do this, and this is what we're going to, I don't believe that's how it happened. I just think it was just organically, it grew, and it grew with how the years went by, and what was going on. That's where they went. It was graffiti at a time. Then people was getting older. Then people needed money. People wanted to make money. People were trying to do raises. You know what I mean? And it just, with the times, it grew. But definitely, I don't think, without a doubt, if anyone can say that, there's always going to be haters, but if anyone can say back then that that TU was not give them any sort of like, nah, they was pussies, that's a load of bollocks. No way on earth was they. And I'll just let me put it, I was not ever asked to be put into TU. Steam put me in TU. Later on, in a later date. Yeah. So I was just a kid doing my thing. You wouldn't go up and ask them. I was too small to do that. I was just doing my thing, and then we became friends. And then it's weird, TU as well is not only writers. TU, there's different parts of TU, I would say. Again, looking at it, and Steam would agree with it. TU, there was a gang of TUs that were robbers and done bad things, and you needed something doing, someone, you was in trouble. There's, well, that's them lot, they do that. Yeah, them boys from whatever area, different area, they're TU, they go under that sort of cover, but they might not be graphers. Yeah?
Yeah.
But they are...
TU.
TU, you know? And there was little different pockets of
cooperative.
TU.
Cooperative. It's like, yeah, different, I mean, divisions.
It's like, yeah, it's weird. It's like, obviously I was coming to you, I was thinking about it. It's kind of like how the La Cosa Nostra of the Mafia was, but they didn't know it back then.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you look at it now, that's basically what it was. But they didn't understand that. Because they didn't, not in a disrespectful way, it was just there. They didn't make it like that. It all happened organically. You know what I'm saying?
And I think this is for the likes of myself and people watching, because the journey gone full circle, and we're faced with what it was rather than what it is. It's actually really crazy to think that it was even the snowball effect that you describe.
That's definitely what it was.
Because nowadays, I mean, let's hope the algorithm doesn't kick me off for this one, but they would be, in 2021, a crew like that.
They'd be very dangerous. They're terrorists. Oh, 100%. They're 100%.
Really?
Yeah, they was... It scares me now to think some of the things that... How I would have felt, like, them feelings will come back, you know? Obviously, there's a lot of them, yeah? And not all of them are going to like you. Just because Steam liked me, and I was friends with Hell, Krez, these sort of people... There's other people that won't like you and will try and bully you just because they're bullies, yeah? Wow. Not everyone's a nice person, but that's life, yeah? And everyone's always going to try and prove a point, you know what I'm saying?
Did that play into your mind when you were being made a member of TU, where you're like, okay, I've already got a little bit of, that's a problem there, but I like him?
I, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I stuck with a few people from TU and I never got involved with anyone else, yeah? And like I said, up to today, Steam will say you're TU, yeah? He's my good friend. So, again, Neat's covered, yeah? You're covered by them. Even when I started getting into the music, he was still with me when I was doing the music. I wasn't a grapher. He was, you know what I mean? I'd still see his tag up every now and then, but at that time, when I was doing music and I was a little bit of a flash prick, yeah? Little did I know, there was people that wanted to rob me, or the people wanted to do things to me, but then they would find out, oh, he knows that one, or he knows that one. So you're sort of covered.
So from when the success started coming, very, like, to garage.
You're talking about 25 years ago. That's not now. I'm not. I'm a dad now. So I still do my music and all that, but I don't need to be covered by
Hold
no
on,
one.
Can I just add? You couldn't come around last week because you had 11... gigs in a week, that's bro. True, yeah. That's okay. Bonkers.
Yeah,
you're doing all right. You got potential. Okay, you're doing good, man. Yeah. You're killing it. But like you say, that transition between graph and music, there was clearly like areas where success and what you came from could have potentially pulled you back.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as well, from the graph before what happened with us being who we are, the Luck and Neat stuff, I owned a pirate radio station, yeah, okay, with a couple of guys called Lush FM. Steam's my mate and blah, blah, blah. And so you would have other people say, if we was on 107.6, that's our frequency, and we're banging out, you'd get bullies from South London or whatever, yeah, jumping on that frequency because it's a good frequency. Now, I think, well, what the fuck am I going to do? And now I know the guy who it is, they're saying, this guy's, I'm not mentioning no names, but I'm like, what am I going to do now? I can't fight this guy. I can't do nothing. I'm like, Steam, bruv, this guy's ringing him up, yeah? I'm like, bruv, they're trying to jump on the thing. I said, come around my house, yeah? And it's literally, there's never no fighting. It's literally, if it ever he would have helped me, or a lot of them would have helped me, it's a phone call. So he would ring up that person, and I will say, hand on my heart, in more than 30 years, I've never heard Steam raise his voice to anyone.
Wow.
It's literally, hello, this is who I am. There seems to be a problem. There isn't a problem anymore. They're like, cool, there's no problem. I got my frequency back. You go about your business. That's how if anything was needed to be done, that's how he would solve the problems for me. Never raised his hand ever for me.
These aren't the droids you're looking for,
But I mean, they, not only them, but I suppose they've all done their what they've done in the past. You don't need to do.
So they know the name.
You know the name.
They know when the phone calls. You know.
Yeah. So that was always very helpful. He's always a phone call away.
And this translated into, okay, you've got the wide awake suit and a Lambo or whatever you were driving back.
I was driving a Ferrari like a dick when I was like 23, but an idiot. And there are people looking at you thinking, do you know what I mean? But I was a kid back then. Yeah. I wasn't doing that. I was an idiot.
But there were people that were actively watching you.
I was told.
Wow.
I was told, but then obviously I was told by certain people, you know, when you're driving the Ferrari like a dick, and I was a dick, yeah, people was going to move to you. But then they found out that you know certain people. And
wow.
So then you sort of got a blight.
Mm. Wow.
So that was kind of lucky.
Yeah. Was music ever on the radar as a writer? Like, were you a fan? Because it sounds to me like an entry hole into...
Oh, come on. Hip-hop connection every week, mate. Yeah? Hip-hop, it was from hip-hop days, yeah?
Yeah.
Hip-hop, that's what it started from, that obviously. Then I moved into... From hip-hop, it was like hardcore. We used to go to the illegal raves, your Spiral Tribes. Uh-huh. Then it was jungle. Jungle's my thing now, even.
Mm-hmm.
I play jungle in my set. And then from jungle, I transitioned to garage.
Wow. Yeah. Graf has always been an influencer of musical genres and tastes, more so than I think people actually give it credit for. Man, people, like, I mean, to be fair, I was calling you initially because we were doing, it was like CRS, cryptocurrency podcast.
Yeah,
we've
done an interview.
Yeah, that's right. And I was like, oh, that's done. But then I thought to myself, man, I wonder if you'd be up for doing my podcast. And then Steam came on and you know, I'd been contacting you and then, or at least trying to, and then Steam was like, yeah, he's to you. And I'm like, what? Yeah, that's cold. And so, you know, we started, and it was only then when the conversation opened and realising how much it gelled and it moved in the same with the same tenacity as your Graf.
Yeah,
was your attack on music?
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. Yeah, definitely. Like you said, you put it in a good way. Definitely thinking about it, 100%. Same sort of vibe. Same. It's there, isn't it? It's all there together, really.
Mm.
When you really think about it, if you take a step back and think about it, 100%. It's definitely. It's definitely one in all. They come together, yeah.
You told me a story about... I'll try and find a video as well, actually, to be fair. It was your debut on Top of the Pops, and there was... Explain the story, because this was
one of the... So Steam would always be with us wherever we go anyway, when we first started, as would another couple of guys, which were just friends, just good friends. We're hanging out, and obviously... They're enjoying our journey with us the same way I enjoyed his journey with him and or whatever. We're just friends. Yeah. They were like, listen, we went to Top of the Pops the first time. If no one knows what Top of the Pops is, it's basically the biggest show to be on if you've charted in the charts. Yeah. It's gone now, and it used to be in Elstree. We rolled up to Top of the Pops, probably 30 man strong. They had never seen nothing like it in their life. To the stage where, like, now you roll up to certain places, there's security, they go, sorry, boys, you're taking the piss, yeah? They couldn't do nothing. But it's just not only certain mads, it's just like all the garage lot, you know what I mean? All of our friends and everything, they wanted just to be there and enjoy that moment with us. Yeah, this is the first time where we're underground boys. We're on TV now.
Before So Solid and all this, you know, it was like a neat. Do you know what I mean?
About the same time, About the same time.
But it was a big. It was a big movement.
Of course, it was. It was like we're on Top of the Pops. What the hell? You lot are letting us go on Top of the Pops? So Steam was with me, and then the next thing, anyway, I'm on the decks. Neat's down there. No one said nothing. I've looked behind me. Steam standing behind me with a bulletproof vest. I ain't going to say nothing to him. They rolled the film, done the tune, and that was it. The first Top of the Pop, Steam was behind me with a bulletproof vest on.
Oh, genius. I love it. Yeah. But here's the thing, because, you know, I'm around the same age as you as well, and I remember these times. And there's always this association with burgeoning, like, new genres that, you know, there's always an undertone of criminality, violence, you know, don't tread on my machino, blah, 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 you know what I mean? And things like that. And surely when you, if people were to reflect back and see, you know, Steam there with a bulletproof vest on stage with you, surely that might seem insightful or encouraging.
I didn't look at it like that. And I still don't look at it like that. He just wanted to be there and he's my pal. Yeah. I'm not going to say get off the stage. Yeah. That's the last thing I'm going to say.
Nah.
You're all right. You stay there.
Yeah.
So I don't think so. No, I've never, you know what? Probably people have overlooked it. Yeah. It's only because we had the conversation and you were talking about Top of the Pops. So I just told you a funny story.
It's fucking great.
Yeah. That he would just stand there. But back then, there was people you had, not now, back then they would wear vests. Mm. Do you know what I mean? They would wear this stab-proof vest, this vest, because whatever they was into.
Was that real? Know. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's certain places that Steam wouldn't come with me to gigs. Mm. He says, better I don't come because there might be someone there or I don't know. Mm. Yeah, and it'll just cause problems for me. So you go, where are you going tonight? I'll say, wherever he goes, nah, we'll leave that one. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So he was thoughtful, thank you. Cheers, mate.
Once again, big up Steam, big up all the Untouchables, seriously, because these guys are going strong still.
Yeah.
Talk to me about going out on graph missions and what that would entail with as a member of TU. I mean, did you go out with Steam ever painting?
I've been out with Steam, yeah. I've been out with a few of them.
Talk to me about that.
Well, firstly, I was so young, I'd have to tell my mum I was sleeping somewhere else. I was sleeping at Dave's house or whatever. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And back then, you didn't really have, like, find a friend. So as far as she's concerned, right, I said, Mum, getting a McDonald's about 9, yeah, and then I'm just going to go to bed about 10. Mm. But what I'd be doing would be track walking or something like that. Get on the tracks and then just walk from one station and just go back, walk to about 6 stations, just hitting the walls or
6
whatever.
6 stations.
Whatever. You just walk, until the cans run out, until whatever run out. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, without a doubt, they was into it a lot heavier than me. But I was there. I enjoyed it, and it was something that I took seriously. It wasn't a joke. Mm. You know what I mean? It wasn't something that you wake up in the morning, you think, oh, I'm going to have a laugh. Let me go and buy a pen and do it. No, we all took it very seriously, mm-hmm. You know? Your tag's up there, and you know, it's always trying to get your tag in the most ridiculous place so that it wouldn't be taken off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's the worst thing. You go and I can't tell you, I was only little, I'm still little now. I can't tell you how many times I've been on the shoulders of someone who's 6 foot plus so I could write something up there. Yeah. Just because I think, well, they're not going to be able to reach it. And more of the time, they can't.
That's so sick. Yeah.
But yeah, there's like I told you before, there was, going back to it, saying about how dangerous the stupid things we would do, there would be like how a train is actually built. In between, there's the front and there's the back, obviously. So you can drive it from the front, you can drive it from the back. But in between, this is back then, the carriages, in between the middle of the train, there are driver carriages facing each other. So what you would do, you would know exactly where that driver carriage, it always would stop at this same position. So you'd wait for one train to come. You go, right, that's where the driver carriage is from the space of the platform.
Right.
Yeah? So now I know this is where the next train comes, the driver carriage is going to stop. So it stops. What you do, the doors open. Obviously, there's no doors there. It's just the driver's cabin and the bit that's joined at the bottom of the train.
It looks like a door, but it's not a door.
Yeah.
That kind of
thing. So what you do, everyone goes in, and what you do, you just hop and you jump onto that bit. Then you open the front of the driver's cabin. Then what you are, you're inside the driver's cabin now.
What?
So what you can do now is every time they pull up to a station, you can open the door from the inside and you can tag on the wall. So so you just go from whatever, say if you go from Morden to Edgware, for instance, say on the Northern Line, you start at Edgware or you start at wherever you'd start and you just open the door, everyone, tag. Open the door, tag. And that saves you, do you know what I mean? That saves you from crossing the lines. But that as well, you get caught sometimes because sometimes they'd see you or you'd be stupid and you stick your head out or whatever. But yeah, chase is also involved. A lot of fun though. a lot of fun. Or bush bombing, you'd go in, you'd go say onto a station which is overground, hide in the bushes across, you'd run over the tracks, hide in the bushes. The train had come up. The funny thing is you'd see the people looking at you. So they're looking at you. There's like six people jumping out the bushes and they're just bombing up the side of the
what
train.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? It's like, all right, and then so that's bush bombing.
I can't believe I'm sitting here talking to DJ Luck about bush bombing, to be quite honest. Yeah, so. Fucking genius. And actually, when I think about it, the age you were when you were doing it, you were in this kind of transitional period of London where, yeah, there was the older school guys.
Definitely, yeah.
But then you were getting into the more early, you know, new recruits of DDS were coming into play.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, you know, we mentioned Sub, Big Up Sub, you know, Shoe 2. But, you know, then there was the Boshes and the Ouches and the, you know, and what then turned into the Cozzers and the Zonks.
Yeah.
And you came out a really sweet spot of
it was a sweet spot, yeah. It was a nice spot to come out in and to see what was going on.
Mm.
And again, there was good and there was bad, but there was more good. I promise you there was more good. Mm. And again, looking back at it, obviously we're doing this podcast and people want to hear the bad things because that's what people like to hear. But I promise you, there was a lot of good and there's a lot of good people out there. Yeah, just because you hear TU and blah, 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 there's a lot of good people out there.
Totally.
You know?
And one thing you were really, because when I first had Steam Over, you know, we immediately started talking, didn't we? And one thing that you said, you were like, you know, he's changed a lot, and on the subject of good, he would always check on you. He'd always
even up to today. I mean, he's got no sense of time or whatever. I mean, if my doorbell goes at 10 o'clock at night, my kids will go. I call him S, but they say S is here, not even looking out the window, and I go, obviously, God bless him, yeah. But he won't even come into the house. He'll literally be passing. He'll just knock on my door and goes, "Are you all right? Do you need anything? Mm. Need any money? Do you want a spliff? Do you want this? Do you know what I mean?" Mm. I'm like, cool, just have a quick 5-minute chat and then go on his way.
Yeah, man.
And he'll do it all the time.
He does call me up regularly, check if I'm all right.
Yeah,
you know,
How's the family? Mm. How's the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Uncle S to my kids, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think when his mum passed, he changed. Yeah, he's a caring person.
Mm.
You've always got that, obviously, you're still that person, but... Mm. You don't know. Every single week, you're talking years ago, his mum passed, but every week he will go to his mum's grave and check on her. Every single week.
Wow.
And it just happens to be near my house. So that's the sort of a person he is. He goes every week without fail.
Wow. Bless him.
Mm.
Things change, don't they?
Of course. And again, like, you lose friends, like he's told you on your podcast. You lose a lot of friends, and he's lost probably most of his friends. You know, so you'd be a fool to carry on doing what you're doing
because
you'll be the next one.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's that stupid.
Mm. And also criminality, or what could be described as that, graffiti's kind of similar and it's transient as shit. There's always a young gun ready to do the next tag. There's always someone else that's ready to take the throne. It's an organism. It's just keep moving.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Who was in your peripherals when you were tagging and bombing, and was there anyone that you kind of like looked up to and was like, yeah, like they're killing it?
Do you know what? There used to be people. I don't know. Have you heard of SAS?
Yeah.
RA. Yeah. The Rebel Alliance. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that you probably didn't mention, but yeah, obviously you're talking about all the big boys, but Keep for me was really. He was, and I know for a fact all the other graphers would just think, how the hell is this guy doing it?
Really?
Yeah. And I would always see him by himself doing it. So for me, if you're asking me, nothing to do it to you, but actually another grapher, I'd say for me, the top grapher in my days was Keep.
Really?
Yeah, he was absolutely smashing it. And it'd be funny, you'd be standing by the yard and all that, and they'd all be there and then all be like cussing each other, joking, yeah, what, how many cans you got? Yeah, because everyone would hide their cans in certain places. You can't walk around with cans. You can't have your cans at home.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So everyone, oh yeah, I've got 150, whatever, you're talking rubbish. Yeah, I've got 250, you know what I mean? So it was all banter and jokes, you know what I mean? But yeah, there's a lot of people out there that obviously I can't mention everyone, but there's a lot of people that done a lot of hard work to get their names up there. And rightly so, you know, and it'd be wow. And I looked up to everyone. I was nothing. I mean, I was no big name, without a doubt, yeah?
No, but your passion was... And this
I
is
had
the thing,
passion, but there was a lot... I mean, I'm just trying... I don't want to big myself up because I was not one of them, yeah?
Okay.
But the passion was there, as much as passion they had, but I was still a very young kid. And I couldn't do certain things that they was able to do. And again, Steam would talk about fitness, yeah? I mean, I've been in Hell's House... And sitting there, and they did. Thinking back, when he said that, I'm like, bloody hell. And I told him this story about the other day. And I said, I remember when I would be sitting. Now, I'm only a little kid. These guys are huge. Yeah, I'm talking huge, yeah? Steam was probably three times bigger physically than he is now. He's still cut, and he's very cardio. He's still cut. But they was all big guys, yeah? And they were kids, yeah? Hell was massive, yeah?
Wow.
They would always challenge each other, jokingly. Hell would go down there, do 150 press-ups. I'm sitting there, Steam would go, take his long black jacket off, you know, them Matrix jacket off, throw off the jacket, down there, do 250 press-ups. I'm thinking, bloody hell, man. I could just about do 10, yeah? But it was to do, like he said, and I'd never really thought of it until I saw his podcast, that they did really keep themselves very fit.
That lifestyle, man. So they walked out, they talked to, they were Marines.
They were soldiers. That's what they were called back then. They were called soldiers. They were soldiers.
You mentioned you knew when, you know, the likes of would come around because that you'd like a Knight Rider car would pull up.
Yeah, if you remember, if you know him, he used to have his, when GT Turbos were first out, he had the sickest GT Turbo. The sickest. It was black, all black, and it had a Knight Rider. You know that. And when you saw his car pull round, you would just see people scatter.
Scatter.
No lie. People would scatter. Yeah. He might be in a good mood. He might not be in a good mood. He might want something off you. He might not want. He might have something for you. But you know what? Certain people's like whatever. If man was shot in or man had just robbed someone's chain. And you was there, that was going over, that was going to him.
Wow. Yeah,
so that car drove anywhere and you saw that car, you would move.
For a young person to witness such opulence, you know, in a car, in an attitude, in a Matrix style jacket, in the physical fitness and agility that these people, this crew, they wanted people to fall in line and do what they do. That must have been like super inspiring for like a young person to see who was most of into graph. That must have been a real thing.
Well, I wouldn't say it was inspiring. It's more like, oh, fucking hell, I'm shit scared of this, yeah? But do you know what I mean? You're saying inspire. I never looked up and thought, I want to be like them.
Okay.
That was never a thing, I want to be like them at that stage.
Right. Yeah?
There was, like I said, I've known them for a very long time. So there was times where, yeah, in the graph time, I wished I could have their power, their notoriety, But I was a little kid. It's like you're going to look up to your famous whatever, like your KSI today. Oh, I'd done something yesterday and I took my son... Knowing I'd done Mo Gilligan's show yesterday.
Ah, wicked.
And I took one of my sons because he loves KSI and he was really nice. And I said, like, JJ, can you just take a picture with my son? He's really nice. And it's made his day. And he looks up to him and he would love to be that YouTuber. He would know, but clearly he knows he would never be that thing. So it was more like that. I knew I could never be that. I respected them for what they for the graph side of it.
Got you.
There are other sides to it, but then that was just life. That wasn't necessarily because there was in TU. Unfortunately, that's how it is today. Someone wants money. Sometimes people, it's not the right way to do it. They don't want to earn it. They want to take it from you, you know? And unfortunately, not everybody is straight down the line. Not saying that. I'm sure you've done things in your time, and so have I, that I might regret now. And I might think, you know what? I've had my karma. I might have done the wrong things. I thought, you know what? I'm going for a bad time now. This has happened to me. Mm. But that's my karma from what I'd done that back then.
Or karma's real. Done
something. Oh, karma's straight down the line. That is the biggest thing that I believe in, is karma. And yeah, I think I'd like to think I'm over that. But yeah, I wasn't a bad person. I wasn't a bad kid. No. And most of the kids, I hang around with kids, you know? They were kids, but they were just big kids, you know? But yeah.
Art imitates life as well. Yeah. Like, you know, whether it's garage or graph or, you know, hip hop or whatever, there's a message in it. And that sentiment comes from a place of reality that you can't detach the two. You know, even in 2021 where, you know, that piece is nice, it's filling up the whole wall with nice colours and
beautiful.
We're all getting on nicely and stuff. Yeah. But these are all based on foundations of what was. And what was a hell of a lot more reality than anything
that's
else.
That's why I said that I agreed to do this with you, because I wanted people to know that it wasn't just all these beautiful things, or if you either like pieces or you don't like pieces. It's not only about pieces. Yeah. There's a lot more about tagging and the dangers and the things that we went through and the lifestyle. Mm. It was a whole lifestyle.
Do you ever think to yourself, fuck, I could have fucking died too many times?
I do
that kind of karma.
Even when I'm with my kids, and the funny thing is, because I'd done what I'd done, I love trains. So I love just getting on the underground, or I love to just get on a long journey and just be on a train. And it's kind of break, because it takes me back. I have trouble sleeping. So some people put like meditation music on. I'll put train tracks, train on a train going for like an hour or 2 hours.
Oh,
that's what helps me sleep.
That's so sick.
I promise
really?
You. Yeah, that's what helps me sleep. Just the train tracks. And I love trains. So yes, yeah, so I'll up to now, I just love being on trains, and I'll say to my kids, I'll say, see that wall? Yeah, I would walk on them tracks there, and I would go and I would write on the wall and walk back. And they'd look at me like, why? I'm like, well, that's what we did back then. Yeah, just stupidness. Mm. Yeah, but
they don't see it as...
But what a buzz. Even now, think about what a buzz. And I might not be here today. You know what I mean? A lot of people have lost their lives. Mm. From doing these things, not your pieces, just your tagging. Mm. Even when you're seeing people, you drive past a bridge and you think, how the fuck did he do that? Yeah. I know how he'd done that. And he's a fucking nutter.
Yeah.
Because he's climbed over and he's done his thing. He's gone there. He's moved on. But it's like 70-foot drop.
Mm.
What, to put your name on it? Brilliant spot. Mm. But nothing I would do now. But back then, you'd jump at the chance to do that.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It's crazy that the new generation, this might be a whole phenomenon just diluted and just may not even be here. And
yeah.
I don't think graph will ever die.
I don't think it'll ever die. If anything, it's having that, it's rejuvenation. I feel that. And that's just seeing it. It's just seeing people. I'm not even looking for it. I'm just seeing like my mates. I go, what are you doing? Oh, we're going to go. I'm like, what? You're graphing? Yeah, we're graphing. We're going on the weekend. But they're going to legal places where you're allowed to graph that week, and no disrespect, the next week you're allowed to go and do your little paint over, do your whitewash, yeah, and go again. Someone else can go again, and there's no one, and it's fine. Mm. And that's what they do.
Get your flick and be gone.
Yeah, thing, yeah. And everyone, they get a picture, they're gone, and then someone else is up next, over, and that's it. And I think that's so cool. And they love it. They make a day of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they just make a day of it.
Generations have moved on, and there's loads of other kids behind, but it's nice that there's elders that want to be doing it and places for them to... I know it's... You know, this ain't walking football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is proper... You've done your graft. Some, you know, kings go to these spots and do their thing even now. And every time I see a Kiss dub down at the lock, and I'm like, yo, that's Kiss. That's fucking sick.
And Wicked going to the lock. There's always something new.
Yeah.
And even when you go to, like, you're talking about Camden Lock, and I love seeing... They've obviously got one of them little boats, yeah, because you know when you're walking just before the market, you say you're coming from Primrose Hill and you look over to the wall, there's no way you'd have to be on a boat, and they've graphed. They've obviously got one of them boats because they hire the boats in the night, and they've gone and graphed the wall. And I think, well done, lads. You know what I mean? They've gone, they've got the boat, hit the boat, gone and then graphed all over the walls.
There's
the
location so important.
Oh,
isn't it?
Brilliant! And you know it's going to stay there for the best locations. You're going to be there forever.
Yeah, yeah. I guess from a tagger point of view, it's actually much important about, you know, surveying and checking the spot and remembering it, right? That's the shit. That's the spot where I
want to get there. You want your tag to be up there. You don't want to go right there and the next day it's off. That's just a bummer. You know what I mean? But if you can stay up, then you're still up. And sometimes you do it in silly places and they just won't touch it. And you think, well, why have you gone all out your way to whitewash that, but that tag's still there for years?
Yeah, they ain't touched it though. And I love seeing an old tag that's been there forever.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, my God. Definitely.
You know? Do you reckon there's any luck...
There is.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, really? There is. There's a couple on the Northern Line.
Really?
Yeah, I see it when I get on the train. Yeah.
That's wicked. The paint stuck a lot more than back in the day.
Yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, different paints. And funny you saying that, I was thinking of a paint, and if you're really old school, there was a thing we called it, I think we called it rubber duck, yeah? And what it actually was wasn't paint. It was to fix drains. So it was so thick that, let's say you had a leak, you would spray it and it would fix the leak. Mm. But it was so toxic that when you sprayed it on a side of a train, they would never be able to get it off. Even if they get the black off, it would stain so badly, that was what you needed. So it was, I'm sure it's called rubber duck, yeah? And we used to spray it on trains and it would not come off or wherever, because it was not made to as a colour. It was made to...
Yeah.
Protect stuff.
Like a glue.
Like a glue. That's exactly what it was, yeah.
So taking off is impossible.
Oh, yeah. And the nozzle on it, and it was a nozzle that you could move, yeah? So you could get your lines, your and then it would go to a big line, or big and then thin. So,
you got
your nozzles there.
That's crazy. What intel? Never heard of that.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. Keep quiet. It's been a pleasure having you on, my brother.
I've enjoyed it.
We could do this.
We could. There's a lot more, but yeah, brilliant.
Sure, there'll be a part two one day.
Yeah.
But, bro, what's all the future? So, you know, any...
Onwards and upwards. Thank God this lockdown's... Let's hopefully just carry on with the work. I've not worked for about 16 months. Obviously, clubs are not being open, but it's just full on ahead. And let's hope Boris doesn't mess up and do all this passport business. I think it's wrong. You can't do that to children. Forget about not even, they're trying to say to, right, you need a passport to come into a club now. That's their way of getting the young'uns vaccinated. And I'm against that totally. Yeah. If I want to do it, I've had my life.
People's rights. Yeah. Hang on the line.
Don't make people do things, especially not children.
Yeah, that's right. Right, we're out of fashion. Big shout out to yourself. Anyone you want to shout out actually before ducking out?
Shout out to my kids. Yeah. Shout out for Steam for letting me do this because I did have to get permission.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Yeah, man. DJ Luck inside the house. Killer Keller podcast out like it was out of fashion. Giving it to you like that, all right? Stay lucky. Don't talk to anyone. I won't. Peace.